Well, do you know what today is? It's a holiday. Well, in the sense of it being a holy day. Okay, now last Sunday we talked about another event. What did we talk about last Sunday? The ascension of Christ, okay? And I don't know if you remember, I mentioned something that it came 10 days later after the ascension, or the ascension came 10 days before what we're celebrating today. Starts with a P. Pentecost. There you go. It's a holiday as big as Christmas or Easter, but sadly, we don't celebrate it like we should. Now, you might say, well, Pentecost, what's that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's what the dictionary says. Oh, we're already June 9th. That's right. That's today. Big dictionary says, a Christian festival celebrated on the seventh Sunday after Easter that commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. Okay? It's also the beginning of the church. That's when the church started on Pentecost. So we could say it's the birthday of the church, right? Happy birthday, church. This is the church's birthday. I know some of you are sitting there thinking this. Well, big deal. You know, this is ho-hum, one of those things that preachers get excited about. But what does it matter for the rest of us? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you why it matters. There was a young man named John Wimber who came to Christ in the Jesus movement of the 1960s. Now, some of us here are old enough to remember that. And it was something that swept across the country. Hey, young people got swept up in this. They turned their hearts over to Christ. They started reading their Bibles. It was amazing. Okay, and John Wimber came to Christ in this movement, and he began to read the Gospels. And he read the book of Acts. And he was excited about what he was reading. But then, when he went to church for the first time, he was disappointed. The polite and orderly service, it seemed to him like a club meeting. And so he looked at the people around them and he said, when are you going to do the stuff? And they said, what stuff? And he said, you know, the stuff. He'd read in Acts about people's lives being converted and turned around, people putting away their witchcraft and burning their witchcraft books and healings. And he read all about that, but he saw no sign of that in the church. He didn't see anything that would amaze him except the deadness of this ritual that he'd just been through in this church service. Have you read the book of Acts recently? It's pretty amazing when you read through the book of Acts. God's power was displayed in people's lives again and again, beginning at Pentecost. And Christians began to expect great things from God on a regular basis so that they went out and they attempted great things for God because God was working. Take your Bible with me, if you have it with you, and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And I'd like to read a number of verses from Acts chapter 2. I'm going to be using the English Standard Version. It'll be on the screen, but I invite you to follow along in your Bible as well. Beginning at verse 1, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, now we got to remember for the Jews, this was a big feast day, okay? And so all these Jews had come to Jerusalem, all right, to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. And it says they were all together in one place. Who? The Christians, all right? And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire, as a fire appeared to them, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then we drop down to verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and he addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. Okay. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, verse 17. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Drop down to verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of God. Now, I believe that the church today needs to discover again the power of Pentecost. But we need to be careful that our focus is not on the power, not on the wonders, but on the person of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Brethren, we need to plug into the power of Pentecost. We need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. What does that mean, to be filled with the Spirit? It doesn't mean we have more of the Spirit. It means he's got all of us. That's what that means. We need to operate in the power of and with the gifts of God's Holy Spirit if we are to be a church. I believe the church is a place for people to come and struggle honestly with the problems of life and see their lives turned around. It's a place for people to be healed. Healed physically, healed spiritually, healed emotionally, relationally, socially. We're called to maintain the unity of the Spirit as the early church did, to live in genuine love for each other. And if we fail at that, then we need to seek reconciliation. God is calling us to engage the power of his Holy Spirit. He's calling us to rise up and be the church. We're not a Christian community center, okay? Just passing our traditions on to our children. We're a church of the living God, and there's a difference. What will God do in our church today? What do you want God to do in your heart today? While you think about that, there are three biblical principles I want to share with you briefly. Three ways that we need to change our thinking in order to experience God's awesome power in our lives and in our church. The first principle of God's awesome power comes when you realize that power to give life is from God. Power to give life is from God himself. The secret of God's power is in the gospel. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the what? The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Folks, the gospel is very simple. Peter preached it straight on Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, let me go back and read verses 32 to 36. The Bible says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. The Bible says that when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, you receive a gift. And that gift from God is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, some may ask, well, how do I know that the Holy Spirit is in me? And that's a good question. Do you all remember these round silvery disc things we used to play for music?
Still do.
Yeah, they're called CDs. The younger generation doesn't use them much anymore, okay? Well, it's the same way that I know that there's music on a CD, all right? Even though I don't see music on the CD, I believe the label that says there's music on the CD, or I can play the CD and hear the music, right? Well, in the same way, we can know the Holy Spirit dwells in us by believing God, who tells us in his word that we receive the Holy Spirit, or by seeing his result in our lives when we trust him. Do you believe that God's Spirit is present today? Do you believe that he gives new life, abundant life? Do you believe he gives forgiveness and cleansing? Folks, he is here and he can do all that and more. He can do all that and more. But is that the church's experience today? Not, sadly, in some places. It's not the church's experience. Maybe you can identify with the man who said this. He said, growing up in the church, I heard a lot about being nice and being a good person. We were told to be kind and to love everyone. If there was ever an opportunity to come to Christ, I was not aware of it. In fact, I met the pastor's son several years later, and he told me that even though he had grown up in a pastor's home, he had never come to know the Lord until his chemistry teacher led him to Christ. His father was a very good man, but his faith did not make room for the power of God unto salvation. Isn't that amazing? Hard to believe? He was a pastor. He went on to say, in our church, everyone dressed and acted their best on Sunday. The service was predictable and formal. Now, don't get me wrong. He said the Bible was read. The preacher said all the right things. But there was no passion or excitement. No one ever gave a testimony. Certainly no one raised their hands or clapped during the music. And no one ever, ever said amen. As far as I knew, he said, Christianity was about keeping the rules and being a good person. If you loved God, you did it quietly and never spoke about it. That's sad. In churches all across the United States, the gospel of being good and doing good is preached. But it's only when we understand that Jesus Christ, what does the Bible say? He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Only then will we experience the presence and power of God or know the zeal of the early church. Do you want God's awesome power in your life? Then you need to determine to know Christ on a daily basis. Live faithfully for him. Until we live by repentance and faith, we're frauds. We're frauds. Faking religion without fully knowing the person and the power of Jesus Christ. It's like one man told me who went to church for years. He said, Pastor, I was almost a Christian. Almost a Christian. Sang in the choir. Went for years. He was almost a Christian. I had the joy of leading that man to Christ. As long as we think the Christian life is something that we do, we're missing the point. It's not about what we do. It's what Jesus did and what God does in us. Christian life is not about doing the right thing or believing the right doctrines. It's not about being a member of the right church or reciting the right creed. It's not even about baptism and communion. Those things are important to us as Christians. Being a Christian is about knowing the right person, Jesus Christ, and having a personal relationship with him as your Lord and Savior. It's about confessing our sin and turning from it. It's about banking everything I have and am on God and loving him with my whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Christian faith is not just a feeling, it's a fact. It's a real relationship with a real person, Jesus Christ. Christianity is about the most wonderful, amazing, loving person in the whole universe who desires to know you and me personally. That's astounding. That's astounding. The God of the universe wants to know you personally. And let me warn you, this experience is not tame. It is wild and it is powerful. The Apostle Paul said, he said, I want to know him. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Do you know God like that? Do you want to? If you do, seek more of him. If you don't, then I invite you to meet him today. That's why Jesus died for your sin. That's why he was buried and rose again, was to give you a new kind of life. Not just to turn over a new leaf, but to have a new life. And so the first principle to understand, if you want God's awesome power in your life, is that the power to give life comes from God alone. Secondly, we need to realize that the power to change lives is from God. Folks, Jews, religious people, were changed on the day of Pentecost into followers of Christ, eventually became known as Christians. Okay? That was no small thing. Let me read to you about it from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 38. The Bible says, and Peter said to them, repent. What does that mean? Turn around and go the other way. Okay? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then verse 41. So those who received his word, listen to this, they were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers, And listen, look what happened. Verse 43, awe came on every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let me tell you something. This was a big deal for the Jews, okay? Their lives were completely changed. They were changed from self-centered, legalistic, religious men and women into God-worshipping, other-centered people who cared about the needs of somebody else besides themselves and their own family. They were full of God's love. Folks, the Bible tells us the Christian life is not just about salvation. It's about transformation. Okay? What does the Bible say? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why the Bible says set your mind not on earthly things, but on things above. Okay? We're to be transformed. Many churches preach about salvation. They talk about the necessity of the new birth almost every Sunday. The scripture changes, but the message is basically the same. You need to be born again. And that's good. That's good as far as it goes. It is a necessary first step. But if your faith only consists of that one event where you repented from your sin and came to Christ, then it is an unfinished faith. It's an unfinished faith. What if a baby was born, and we've had a couple born in our extended church family here this year. What if a baby was born and the baby never nursed, was never nurtured, never grew, never developed? As wonderful as that birth was, it wouldn't survive. It's what pediatricians called a failure to thrive, right? You know, if you think that the Christian life is only about being born again, think again. It's not just about salvation. It's about being transformed by the renewing of our minds. To hear some folk talk, you'd think that once we came to Christ, well, we just, you know, hang around and wait till we go to heaven. Put in our time until Jesus comes, you know? If that's what you think, then I don't think you'll ever experience God's awesome power. You don't understand that Jesus came to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, there is a job to do while we're still here. We're to grow in holiness and to be salt and light in a decaying and dark world. We're to be transformed on a daily basis. We do that through spiritual disciplines, through reading our Bible, through prayer, through pursuing holiness, and then becoming agents of God's transformation in the world. It's kind of like, well, like gasoline, okay? If you ever worked around gasoline, you can take 10 gallons of gas and you can release a tremendous amount of energy and power just by lighting a match by that gasoline, right? Boom! That's what normally happens, okay? Some people in some churches are like that. Or there's another way to release energy. You can put it in the fuel tank of a gas-electric hybrid car, and the high-tech engine can use those 10 gallons to take you 500 miles or further. Okay? Explosions may be spectacular, but a sustained control burn has staying power. Do you want to just be a flash in the pan, Christian? Or do you want to make a difference in this world over time? Do you want to last for the long haul? If so, you don't just want the Holy Spirit to save you for heaven. You want him to use his power to transform your life and give you victory over sin and sadness and depression and all the other problems that we go through in this world. And then he can use you in this world for kingdom purposes. So to be an effective member of his kingdom, you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives every day. Every day. Some of you are living examples of the transforming power of God. And I rejoice with you. Keep it up. And some of you need to be. Come to Jesus. Follow him. So what do we have so far? The first principle that we need to know to experience God's awesome power in our lives is that the power to give life is from God. Secondly, we saw that the power to change lives is from God. And the third principle I want to share with you this morning is this, that the power to live a Christian life is from God. We don't have to do it in our own strength, folks. The power to live the Christian life is from God. The life that Jesus lived is the same kind of life you can live. He lived the life that we should live and died the death for sin that we should die. And if we believe in Him and follow Him, we'll begin to be able to do it too as we trust in Him. The life that the apostles lived is the same kind of life that's available to you and me. But it's a life of faith. Okay? There's no more exciting place to live, let me tell you, than on the edge of your faith. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yes. Look at Paul's testimony. He said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It is Christ in us. It is God's power in us. This is vacation season, and a story goes that two Texans were traveling together on vacation in New York, and they decided to go see Niagara Falls. As they drove from Lake Erie to the falls, they were filled with awe at the size and the power of the Niagara River. They were particularly impressed with the rapids just above the falls. Have any of you been there? Niagara Falls? Yes, it's amazing. Okay, from there at the rapids, they could look down and they could see the huge mist cloud that's constantly over the falls. One of the men had been there before, so he said, come on, I'm going to show you the greatest unused power in the world. And so he took the other man to the foot of Niagara Falls, and he said, there it is, the greatest unused power in the world. The other man said, oh, no, my friend, not so. And then he said this, the greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. The greatest unused power in the world is the Holy Spirit of the living God. What about you? What kind of life do you want to live? What kind of life do you want to live? Are you available to God? Do you want Him to help you? You know, God doesn't force Himself on us and make us serve Him. If you let Him, He'll take your life, He'll make something beautiful of it, if you let Him. There was a mother who wanted to encourage her young son's progress on the piano. So she decided to take him to a concert at the Great Concert Hall and let him enjoy listening to a master play. Well, after they were seated, waiting for the concert to begin, the mother spotted a friend in the audience and she walked down the aisle to visit with her friend. Well, her son did what little boys do, and he seized the opportunity to explore the wonders of this concert hall. And the little boy wandered away and eventually explored his way through a door marked No Admittance. When the house lights dimmed and the concert was about to begin, the mother returned to her seat and discovered that her little boy was missing. Suddenly, the curtains parted and the spotlights focused on the impressive Steinway grand piano on the stage. In horror, the mother saw her little boy sitting at the keyboard. Innocently, he began to pick out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. At that moment, the great piano master made his entrance, and he quickly moved to the piano, and he whispered in the little boy's ear, keep playing and don't stop. Then he leaned over, and the famous musician reached down with his left hand and began to play the bass part. And then he reached around him with his right hand and began to play a treble part. The old master had transformed this mother's nightmare into an amazing, wonderfully creative experience. The audience was just amazed. Well, friends, if you take what you have and let God use it, He will do something amazing with you. You say, well, I'm a nobody. That's who all the people in the Bible were before God got a hold of them. They were nobodies that became God's somebodies. Let me tell you, once you've experienced the power of God in your life, nothing else satisfies. Nothing comes close to the thrill. But first, Jesus Christ must be your Lord. He must be your Lord. Sadly, some Christians don't care if God uses them. We call that apathy when you don't care. You just don't care. You can't just point to a past experience of being born again and say, that's it, that's the greatest thing to ever happen in my life, you know. You have to grow. Your faith has to thrive. And God's going to bring you through some trials to test that faith, and you'll discover that He is faithful. He is faithful. God wants to transform you into the image of Christ and to make you like Him. But if you don't care about the things of God and His kingdom, you will never experience the awesome power of God in your life. The more you know God, the more you will love Him, and the more excited you will be about His kingdom. And the more you love Him, the more you'll see Him provide, the more you'll see Him do. You'll want others to know Him. You'll want them to experience the same joy and blessing that you have. And the more you experience His presence and power, the more of it you want. And I'm going to tell you what, that's the way to live. There is no room for apathy in the Christian life. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength. Folks, listen. We've been forgiven. We have eternal life. We have experienced eternal love. We ought to hold nothing back because we have discovered real life. And we're just like someone said, one beggar to show another beggar where to get bread. Come on, I'll show you what I found. You want some? Get it, you know? We have found the living water, the pearl of great price, and it's worth more than everything we have. And because of this, we can be excited about life and about the wonderful God we serve and do whatever it takes to have more of Him and to follow Him and serve Him. Well, let's wrap this up. Today, what have we seen? We've seen three principles to apply in our lives, three ways that our thinking needs to change if we want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. First, remember that the power to give life is from God. Second, remember the power to transform and change our lives is from God. And thirdly, the power to live the Christian life itself is from God. See, the Bible isn't about you and me. It's about Jesus and what He did, what He's done, and what He's doing in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Now that you know, what are you going to do about it? Men and women who understand this and pursue God will see God's awesome power at work in them. And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of that kind of church. I want to be part of that kind of church. God doesn't promise us a trouble-free life now, okay? Heads up. Remember the apostles? Read the book of Acts again. Look at what they went through. It wasn't all, you know, roses and cherries. They were persecuted, but He does promise to never leave us and to never forsake us. He says His power is made perfect in our weakness. So when we are weak in our own strength, we are strong in His strength. Look what Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says again. Therefore, He says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those that have gone on before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We know the Apostle Paul did this, for he wrote, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the prize, toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, what are some of the weights and hindrances that might be holding you back in your race? What is keeping you from running the race as you should? If you're going to experience the awesome power of God in your life, the power of Pentecost, what things will you need to let go of and forget so that you can keep your eyes on Jesus? What is God calling you to do? What kind of church is He calling us to be? Will we answer His call? Will we be the church? Be the church. Will we be His church? One author described the church this way. He said, when God sends His Holy Spirit, amazing things happen. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed. Opposites are reconciled. Unity is established. Disease is cured. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races are reconciled. Hope is established. People are blessed. And church happens. Today, the Spirit of God is present, and we're going to have church, he said. So be ready. Get ready. God is up to something. Discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, fess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Closed folk, open up. Gossipers, shut up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folk, fire up. Dry bones, shake up. And pew potatoes, stand up. But most of all, Christ, the Savior of all the world, is lifted up when we're the church. Friends, God loves you. He always has. He always will. He is calling you today to come to Him, to live for Him. Don't delay. Why live another day in your own weaknesses? Live today in the awesome power of our amazing God by His Holy Spirit. That's the way to celebrate Pentecost. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this amazing gift that You gave us through Jesus Christ. Forgive us, Lord, for apathy, for not caring, for ignoring this power that's available to us to live for You, for making excuses. Father, help us today to step out on faith and to trust You with our lives, to trust You to use us. Help us to learn to open our mouths and be a witness wherever You direct our steps. Father, we might be the church You have called us to be, that we might impact this community for Christ. The people will find the Savior and follow Him. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.